Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott, except Linda is somewhere over on the coast with her girlfriends as they're having their reunion. It's kind of like a mini reunion of Gold Diggers from when she was entertaining with Dean Martin and the gang back then a few years ago. So they're having a great time. I heard from them last night that they're walking along the beaches, they're singing, they're dancing, they're putting on a national review. No, they're just having a good time there. 7:06 in the morning here, Friday, the 2nd of October. Phone line's here, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Got a big show today. But let's start off with the weather. Eric.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Fine. As a lot of you, maybe you don't know, but you should, is that Eric comes in on Fridays, and Bob takes his – Bob can only handle 4 days of me. So then Eric comes in for a few days and on Fridays and Saturdays and handles all the work here. So you're going to do the weather today. Now, there's a certain panache that Bad Bob does, so I expect, you know – I hear a little bit of your personality coming through here, buddy.
Okay, I'll do my best. All right, currently it's 60 degrees out there. I'm so glad that it's a little bit cooler. Today we're going to get a high of 88, low of 58 today. Tomorrow's going to be a high of 76, the low of 60. And Sunday we're looking at a high of 80 with a low of 58. So it's getting a little bit cooler out there, and I'm very, very glad for that.
That's right. The weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane Works. Well, you know what? It's warm. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. A veteran-owned business, discounts for seniors and veterans, won awards for helping veterans get jobs. Right here it has Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. And if it's Friday and if it's 7 o'clock in the morning, it has got to be Haven Humane. And here comes Spencer.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy. And look at this. Oh, you know what? I'm surprised you can hold this one up. This is huge. Where in the heck did you get one that big?
This is actually a pretty small one.
Oh, okay.
Got a huge name, though. This morning I brought with me Zeus.
Zeus.
Zeus is a solid black 7-month-old guinea pig.
All right. I have to admit, it is small.
He is, especially for guinea pigs. He's pretty small.
But I kind of like the way you have it dressed up, the little top hat, little vest there, and a little is that a hand-tied little bow tie on him?
It is.
It is?
It accents his little beady eyes.
And you know what? Those spats and the fact that you've painted his little toenails red make this such an interesting-looking guinea pig.
So Zeus came into our shelter because, unfortunately, his owners could no longer care for him, and so they decided that it was time to find him a new forever home with a family that had a little bit more time for him. Zeus, you know, he's a little critter, but he has huge personality. It's almost godly personality he has.
He has a what kind of personality?
A godly personality.
A godly personality. He sits in the cage, and the other guinea pigs come up and what, pay reverence to him?
Yes, they do.
He gives absolution?
You know, most guinea pigs are actually really skittish animals because out in the wild they are prey, and they're prey for everybody.
Frankly, he looks a little tasty.
The only thing that they're a predator to is grass. So, you know, lots of birds and stuff like to eat them, and so they're kind of normally afraid of the world, but little Zeus here, he's actually quite vocal. It's funny, when we come in the mornings, he knows it's time for food, and he starts whistling up a storm for
us. Is that the sound they make?
Yeah, they make whistling, they make chirping, they make all kinds of noise, but the whistling is really the indication that they want either socialization from people or you have something in your hand that they want.
Could be that, huh? Okay, and so how do we get Zeus?
So you could stop by our shelter at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653 and bring Zeus home with you today.
There you go. And is Zeus going to be neutered?
Is not going to be neutered. Our vet hasn't quite learned how to neuter guinea pigs yet, though. She's working on it. I talked with her yesterday, and she's going to learn.
I don't know. Are we – do we have – Do we have a problem with feral guinea pigs?
We don't, you know, but if he was neutered, then someone that had a female at home could adopt him as well. So I do want to throw out there.
Eric, are you seeing any humor in this at all? I mean, you're sitting there kind of like looking around the room. Yeah. Are you seeing the humor in this?
Yeah.
That Zeus could go and have a girlfriend and everything. And then you'd have little Zeuses and little Athenas rolling around, walking around. So pretty soon you have your own guinea pig farm.
It happens fast.
Wow. You know what? And then, only then, after you turn a couple hundred out into the parks, will you have a feral.
Yes.
I know. Okay, I'll let it go. All right. Hey, tomorrow night also is the Bark, Wine, and Brew.
Yes.
Looking forward to that there, big guy.
We're looking forward to you being there.
Hey,
so
I am.
We want to let all your listeners know that tickets are no longer available.
I didn't think so.
It's sold out. There won't even be tickets at the door.
And, you know, CareNet was on earlier this week, and she said, hey, we have a few tickets left. We talked about it. And she sends me this email. Stop talking about it. You know, we have nothing left. There's no tickets left there.
Yeah, they are completely gone, which is great, you know, because it's our biggest fundraiser of the year.
We're going to have a great time tomorrow night. I tell you, I promise you. You're going to have a great time tomorrow night, or Mark Story will come over and wash your car. There you go. How about that? I know. He's listening right now.
He is.
And Mark Story will come over and wash your car. If you don't have the best time ever. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having us, Carl.
You bet. Hey, you know, there's a lot of things going on. Okay. Let me try and line all of these things up that are happening. I told you about CareNet. So the fact is it's too late to get tickets to the CareNet banquet for next week. But tonight, the Stillwater Powwow begins tonight. Grand March starts at 7 o'clock at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. It's a $3 admission. Then you've got the powwow going tomorrow and in part of Sunday, too. 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. If you need any information, check it out on the Wind River website or give Maria Roscoe a call at 242-4516. That's going over big. I'm sitting here holding my Golf for Four that was given to me yesterday from Nigel Skeet after he thoroughly trounced me in poker out at Wind River when we were doing a fundraiser out there. Strikeout Domestic Violence Bowl-a-thon. By the way, do you bowl, Eric?
I've been known to bowl.
Because we're putting together a team here, man.
Okay.
And so it's going to be get your team of four together and raise money for domestic violence prevention. It's going to be at Shasta Lanes, October the 23rd. We got a few weeks to get ready for this. And you have a team of four that includes 2 hours of bowling and shoe rental. Now, look, I'll pay the $24 to get us in.
Okay.
But you need to raise $100 from all your friends for domestic violence prevention. And we'll bring the money there, too. Give them a call at 225-5220. And by the way, the Shasta County District Attorney's Office is putting this on, so you'll get to see all of them. And let me see what else we have here. Today we also have a 18th Annual Breast Cancer Awareness Luncheon, the Soroptus International. I think it's probably a little bit too late to get tickets there, but in case you are interested, 526-7777, Jennifer Harris, and it's always a great presentation. Tickets are $40. Doors open at 11, and lunch starts seating at 11:45. Tomorrow, Agent Orange Town Hall meeting at the Veterans Home on Yuba Street. Not Veterans Home, I'm sorry, the Veterans Hall. It's at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street, Shasta County Veterans Hall, and it goes from 5 to 7 p.m. Agent Orange just isn't for your Vietnam veterans anymore, my friends. This Agent Orange was so effective, it's now affecting the children and grandchildren of Vietnam veterans who are starting to show up with weird types of diseases or things that are happening to them, all from exposure to Agent Orange from their father, grandfather. And this can go on for generations. You might want to go down there and find out what's going on. That's Saturday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Shasta County Veterans Hall on Yuba Street. Okay? And, of course, that's it. Gosh. I think I ran out of things. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages, but this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Treating people well is how they have become one of the top 100 hospitals in the nation for 3 years in a row, and their cardiac unit is in the top 50. Shasta Regional Medical Center, treating people well. We'll be right back with Tim Hugel, the California Highway Patrol. There's been some changes you might want to know about. Take your passion.
Hi, Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group. And the fun family experience of Chris Parandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing, cash management services, space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
The Manhattan Short Film Festival is returning to Reading's historic Cascade Theater Saturday, October 3rd, and you're invited to attend and unite with an audience of over 100,000 movie buffs across the globe to view and vote for your favorite. It's the Manhattan Short Film Festival, Saturday, October 3rd at the Cascade Theater at 7:30 p.m. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Bob. Of course, Linda's in Cambria. I think that's the way you pronounce it, California. And I'm here in Reading, where it's supposed to be a beautiful day today. It's going to go up to 88, 60 degrees right now. Weather brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Espresso Joe's, where as it gets colder, that coffee tastes better. Plus the fact you can get any type of coffee you want, those lattes, machados, all those things, cheaper than you can at some of these other places. You do not have to take a loan out to have coffee every day. Veterans get discounts at Espresso Joe's. You can also buy coffee by the pound. You can buy coffee machines, brews, wines, you name it. They've got it. Then walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. And what can I say about that except their walk-in humidor is untouchable by almost any other place here in Northern California. It's that good. Veteran-owned business. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Good people doing great things for our community down there. Okay, Gary Moore just stopped through. And Gary is, of course, our does the football for KCNR on Friday nights. But he's also now working with Ron Largent. Ron's their kind of color guy. They make a great team. And if you have not heard them, tonight starts at 7 o'clock. Great games. High school football. Where else are you going to get high school football but at a community radio station that can do this because it's the right thing to do. That Colt 45 baseball, all of these things happen through your all support too, and we appreciate it. And one of the things we like to do is we like to pass information onto everybody that has that can have severe impacts. And one of those things is the laws right here in the state of California that are changing. I've got Tim Hugel with me, who is, from, of course, from the California Highway Patrol, but he's the motor carrier unit's supervisor. And you're the guy that's kind of out there passing on or stopping things and making sure people do what's right.
You're right, Carl. We're trying to inform the commercial motor vehicle public on the new regulations that are happening come effective January 1st of 16.
And there's some big ones here.
Many changes are happening that's going to affect a population of commercial motor vehicle operators that hopefully what they won't be caught by surprise through venues like this where we can provide some information to help them.
Well, you know, and when we say this, commercial operators, you know, a lot of times you just think it's the big trucks. You know, the one, you know, the tractors pulling the big trailers and all these things. But no, this is going to affect anybody that uses a truck commercially. And those are the small trucks you see running around town, too. Is that correct?
That is correct. Historically, the Highway Patrol is overseeing the operation of the big rigs you see on the highways, three-axle trucks, truck tractors, the transfer units and such, the big rigs. So come next year, we have a program called BIT, which today stands for Biennial Inspection of Terminals, and it affects, like I said, the larger trucks. Next year, it's going to include a number of vehicles that otherwise are not regulated today that are being operated commercially, meaning in the furtherance of a business enterprise. And what it's going to encompass are the vehicle types that are over 10,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating used commercially will fall into this new BIT program.
And this BIT program, in case you're wondering, well, what's a BIT program? This, let me tell you what a BIT does. BIT can take a bite out of you, having just gone through one. Of course, a lot of you know that we started a new company here, Disabled Veteran Business Enterprise, with you know, hiring veterans and spouses of veterans to provide trucking and trucking capability, material and trucking and abilities to our local builders around here, and working with our with the people here, which has, you know, which is something that we needed around here, and I was approached to start this. But frankly, the amount of what I knew before I started, you know, even though I did, I looked it up, I studied it, I did all this stuff, there are things that come popping up that you never know about. I knew about the BIT, and this is the terminal inspection. Is that right?
That is correct.
And what happens is this gentleman comes in his own van, his own, you know, a mobile office. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. He says, because he's out on the site, so he needs an office that he can work out of. And Pete proceeded to spend the next 4.5 hours with me going over papers, inspecting the truck, everything. And if you don't have your stuff lined up here, I mean, is it the same type of inspection, the drugs, the types of safety classes you have to have? Is it the whole thing under the new inspections?
It can be. It depends on the type of commodity you're transporting and the size of vehicle you're operating, Carl. If you require a commercial driver's license, then the drug and alcohol testing comes into play. If you're hauling placardable amounts of hazardous materials, then, again, the training issues come into play. So if you're operating, say, a flatbed 14,000 GVWR in your construction business, then you're going to have minimal applicability of the various regulations and laws. But the BIT program next year will be applicable, where you will undergo what's termed a mandated inspection of your terminal. The terminal consisting of maintenance records, the vehicle, driver records, hours of service, and that's where the public is unaware as far as these types of vehicles they're operating, is that the driver is subject to hours of service requirements, meaning they can only drive so many hours within a work period, so many hours on duty within a work week, and that's where I think we're going to find our biggest problems.
I think so, because, you know, when we're making runs, a lot of runs, and we had to figure it out. From the time he starts, and you get some time off, and then from the time he starts, from the beginning of the week, and it turned out then on Friday, he was finished. He was finished for at least 36 hours that he cannot get back into the truck, and so for at least 36 hours. So we went beyond that, but And so, or how many hours a day you can drive. Now, you get guys driving around here locally, they could exceed that quick.
They can, depending on their operation. If they're in construction, again, during the summertime, they're putting in long hours, long days to get a job done. And even though he may be banging nails all day, he is driving a vehicle that is regulated at the beginning or the end of the day, and that's where they're going to find their problem.
Well, now, does he have, now, are they keeping driver's logs right now?
They're supposed to. This requirement for the hours of service went into play several years ago.
Would you bet that they're not, though?
I'm pretty sure they're not. Why? Because we're not out there inspecting.
You're not
them.
Inspecting, so it's just something else, and they're just, it's just another government reg. But now, you can walk into a place, and if you find four or five trucks that are working on construction sites that are owned by a company, and your guy comes in there and says, let me see your logs, if the first question is they look at you and they go, logs, they've got a problem.
They could. Where it really starts, Carl, is they first have to obtain what's called a carrier identification number. That's issued by the Highway Patrol for these vehicle types. Then the next step is they have to obtain what's called a motor carrier property permit through DMV, like you had to. And so that boils down to insurance filings. And that becomes their operational authority for the state of California to operate that vehicle on the highway. From there, the terminal element comes into play, where then the fact they've never been inspected, they become a priority of our inspection protocols to go out and then educate them. That's our purpose. We want to educate the community on what their operational needs are under the statutory regulatory requirements, and then hopefully they will comply with that.
And let me tell you something, and from my experience with the California Highway Patrol, with Tim and with Pete, who did the inspection. With Pete, it was almost like it was like spending a day in school. I had the information, but he explained to me why, and he explained to me how it worked, how it fit in, and you know, and the things that you know that I needed, I didn't have with me because I didn't realize that was what I needed. So he let me gather that up because his job wasn't there to be officious and just shut me down. His job was to make sure that I understood everything that happened before the next inspection. And we did have everything. It wasn't in the right order, but we had everything. And then so I can see what's going to happen with this, especially the first time around. But you've still got to have certain material there. That I mean, and when you get your license, you get your permits and all that has to be there. And if you are driving anything hazardous, I mean, and that includes oil or hot oil or anything, your drivers have to go through a drug and alcohol program.
If they're required the commercial license, correct.
That's right. And then so if you've got to have that set up and you've got to have regular testing, I don't know if people understand that how this could impact a lot of the industry around here.
I don't believe they're aware either, Carl. It's not widely publicized, unfortunately. We're doing our best to try to get the word out. I believe DMV will be inserting a little pamphlet in the vehicle registration renewals. But in the meantime, it's going to be venues like this to try to get the word out. We have a commercial industry education program that's available as well. We try to go to like the Builders Exchange. We go to various association meetings to try to get this word out and educate them on the requirements. Our intent is education. The commercial enforcement program has two elements, the on-highway, the scales. You might see the officer in a black and white pickup truck. That's a commercial operation. The other side of the house is the off-highway with the motor carrier safety unit, where we come to your facility to do the terminal inspections. We're primarily educational. But yes, given the opportunity, if you don't comply, you will pay a consequence. But you'll be given an opportunity to come into compliance. It's not going to be hammer down first offense.
Right. Okay. And that, I think that's important everybody knows, because especially if you haven't been doing it.
Correct.
You know, and or you've been had your business for 20 years, and now it's another onerous regulation coming down from coming up from high, but the people that implement it are there to help you.
That is correct.
It's kind of the way to do it, so you don't get in trouble.
We are here to help you navigate through the regulatory maze that you're subject to.
All right, and from my experience, this is exactly what they do. We got to take a quick break here. I'm with Tim Hugo, who heads up the motor carrier unit here. You'll see them on the scales, you know, the ones that do the scales, plus coming out and doing inspections in terminals and of your trucks, too, if you haven't had them inspected someplace else. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy has a very, very good class on concealed carry and teaches that all the time. On about once a quarter, he has an advanced class for people who already have their concealed carry permits. And in this class, you will be taught how to present the gun you're carrying, moving to cover, how to clear stoppages, shooting in scenarios with timed events to put some pressure on you, using a shotgun in self-defense, all of these things. He's got two spots left for his October 25th class. And you need to give him a call at 999-1822, 999-1822, or check out the website at readingccw.com. There's only two spots left at this. You shoot all day, and you have you learn a lot, and you have a good time. All right, we'll be right back after these messages with Tim Hugel.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The sound of a delicious wine. The sound of community awareness in the fight against breast cancer. Join KCNR and Westside Wines on October 15th for Think Pink Day. Stop by between 5 and 7 p.m. at Westside Wines, located at 1872 Buenaventura Boulevard, where Linda Bott will be our celebrity host, pouring glasses of rosé to benefit our local Think Pink organization. Bottles of rosé will be 30% off, and a percentage of all the sales that night will be donated to Think Pink. Come join us, a great local business, and support this amazing cause. You can help us spread the word about the importance of early detection. Save the date, October 15th. For more information, call Westside Wines at 941-1890.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
You're home. You serve your country with honor. Now it's time to strike out on a new path forward. You're a veteran. You set the standard for character, integrity, leadership. And you've gained valuable skills. Skills employers are looking for. At jobcenter.usa.gov, you can get access to personalized services and the support you need to find the perfect career. This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams saying, visit an American Job Center today and discover your next opportunity of a lifetime.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Yes, it's Friday. Only two more working days till Monday. 26 minutes until 8 o'clock here on the 2nd of October. 60 degrees out there, going up to 88. Thank you to Shasta Gas Propane for that weather update. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Jarhead and Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome back. And Angel and Sungold and Guest and other people in there. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Leonard and his jewelry is like number one. Yes, totally, exquisite jewelry at great prices. And if you don't see what you want, ask him. He'll find it for you. And he's, you know, you talk about integrity and honesty in a business. That's Four Winds Jewelry and the only trained watch repairman in all of Northern California. Right here at Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Let's go to the phones. Terry.
Hey, Terry,
accept my apology there, man.
No, buddy, that's fine. That's all right. I got to listen.
Okay. Well, you know what? The best part, I tell you what, wait till you, after we're finished with you and your announcement, wait till you hear what he has to say next. This is really going to blow some people away. Okay, what you got?
Well, okay, the historic Haas Farm has the Civil War reenactment this weekend. It starts at 10 a.m. That's when doors open. And the first battle, I believe, is at noon. The second one's at 2. And then on Sunday, doors open at 10, and it's a battle from noon and 1 at 2. And these Civil War reenactors are absolutely fabulous. It's a lot of fun. You can walk through the camp, see how life is. It's history coming to life. But the best part is that when you go to the Civil War reenactment, it gives you and your kids, the activities that Haas Farm has to offer, like the corn maze and zip lining. just all kinds of fun stuff that you can do, and you can actually spend the whole day there. They close at 11 o'clock at night, but
they're also going to have this haunted maze thing that they're just starting out too.
And we
got an invite for that. Well, you know what? I really think it's cool, Terry, that the Civil War reenactors, you know, of course, they turned to you because you were there in some of the original battles.
They did.
And they said, "What is this? What it was really like, Terry?" And Terry goes, "Well, you know, you guys still go home at night, you know, and take showers."
Jeb Stuart never died. I'm still alive and well. So, anyway, but the fun thing is that it's $10 for a special month pass, and it gets you into all the events they're going to have all month long. With the Civil War reenacting, so cool because it's like the 8th Alabama. I mean, their commander is 29 years old. Those young men are all in their 20s. To see these young guys come out and participate in
– I think it's great.
It is. And it's fun. Oh, my gosh.
I was out there last year, the year before last, and I saw these guys, and they had the cavalry charge, and they had cannons firing and all these things. I mean, they really take this seriously, and I think it's great. And it gives kids a chance to see, wow, this isn't like it was in the movies. No, I mean, it was tough living back there, and on top of that, people were trying to kill you all the time. So, anyway, okay, Haas Farms.
Haas Farm, and that will be this Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th. Doors open at 10 a.m., and tickets are only $7.50, and that gets you into everything, or you can even get a $10 pass, which gives you the whole month of passes to all the great things that they have.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Bye. Okay, I'm here with Tim Hugel, and he's the unit supervisor for the motor carrier unit up here. And is it Shasta County or just all of Northern California here?
13 counties of Northern California.
13 counties. You're the guy. Okay, now one of the things Tim talked about, was they're changing the rules so that trucks that are smaller, people that got out of the business of having the 18-wheelers there or the larger trucks because of the bits and all the inspections and all the regulations that went with it are now going to come under that. And if you have a truck that is 10,000?
More than 10. More than 10 on the gross vehicle weight rating. Using it commercially, you're going to be in the new BIT, standing for Basic Inspection of Terminals.
Now, the other thing that goes along with that is if you are making runs down to Sacramento or places to pick up equipment or pick up material, you need to stop through the weigh stations.
That is correct.
And that's new.
It actually isn't. The scales, a commercial motor vehicle is defined, obviously, in the vehicle code. And so it's defined as anything that transports property. A pickup truck is a commercial motor vehicle. You know, because you're paying commercial registration, which everybody complains about, and I have several myself. I'm not happy with the fees I have to pay, but it's a commercial motor vehicle. Unless the scale facility or the inspection lane is posted, no pickups. Pickup trucks must enter the scale and go through the inspection lane. So when it's posted, you don't have to. When it's not posted, you do. Many people still refer to their vehicle as a pickup when they put a flatbed on it. Many of the ranchers, the agricultural industry, they'll put a flatbed on what was a pickup truck. It's no longer a pickup truck. That is a motor truck, a flatbed. Thus, when it says no pickups, they have to go through because they're not a pickup any longer.
Okay. So this is for people who are going down to pick up to get material. They are going to now come under. That means that their trucks can be inspected.
That is
correct. It will be inspected, in fact. And if the specialist out there at the weigh station sees something like turn signals that aren't working or lights that aren't working, they can red tag them, which means you don't move the truck until it's fixed.
That is correct.
So, I mean, I think it's important that people know this because now these companies have to figure out what are they going to do? Are they going to – I mean, they've got to come in compliance or they have to make arrangements to have other types of transportation.
That's true. That is true. And okay. that leads us into really another element of this whole program, Carl, is the motor carrier permit. There's two elements to it. If you're subject to the CA number, you're subject to the motor carrier permit through DMV. Are you for hire or are you private in the transportation activity? Many companies think, well, I'm a cement contractor, or I'm a framer, or I deliver product of my own, but my business is for hire, so I must fall under the for hire classification. That is not how that's applied. For hire means you're being directly compensated for the transportation activity. If you're transporting your own commodity during the course of your business activity, you're private, which has an effect on the cost of the motor carrier permit.
Well, in that case, then in our case, we are for hire. But you know, for Muse Concrete,
they would be private.
They would be private. So Right. It's a completely different thing.
Exactly.
Now, his concrete trucks or any type of concrete. I'm not just pointing out Muse, but any of these that are hauling concrete, all that they already come under. That commercial truck's
three axle, so they're in it already.
Right.
This is really intended, this venue, to educate those that
with
have two axle.
Two axle trucks now are coming under this. You know, there's kind of you've got this really big mustache. But I see this kind of this look on your face, and it's kind of like, wow, you know, here we are, and we've got to make this work. And you've got all these guys out there, all these people that are just really buckling hard to make it, to make money, to be able to keep their businesses open, and here comes something else.
Exactly.
And so I have this impression also is that how do we keep you in business? How do we keep you rolling atmosphere?
Like I said in the beginning, our intent is educational. We want them to understand the requirements they have to fulfill for the operation of those vehicle types. The last thing we want, from my standpoint, is to have them have an encounter on highway with one of our commercial officers and end up with a citation. Because of these requirements, they're all misdemeanor citations. And as you know, the courts have substantial fine levied and enhancements on the fines for generating revenue. The Highway Patrol doesn't get involved in that, but again, it's our business. We are the entity tasked with enforcing these requirements.
Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about – there's a couple other things happening too, is like the bit inspections are slowing down. I think the state's going to start issuing DOT.
That is correct. All carriers, even though they may be intra, solely within California
Right. Only,
everybody's getting a DOT number assigned, and the reason being is we're going to a performance-based inspection platform where your activity through the terminal inspections, on-highway activity, citations, accidents, the loads, if you're spilling the load, all of these factors are going to culminate into a carrier safety rating. And the lower your number, the more safe you are. There will be thresholds that if you exceed, then we will automatically come in through that element through a prioritization system.
Now, when I got my permit, I didn't go for a DOT because I didn't think I'd be going interstate very soon. Well, as it turns out, I did, and I had to go out and get mine. But as I was – because I tried to apply for one to begin with, but the state of California wouldn't give it to me. But now – but you've got like, I don't know, 20 states perhaps that you're required to have a DOT?
Many states have adopted the federal regulations straight across the board for their authority. California
Oregon.
Has its vehicle code, California Code of Regulations.
Right.
We've adopted bits and pieces of federal requirements as our regulatory.
And now it's going to be adopted. So now everybody's going to get a DOT number.
Everybody will get a DOT number, but that does not make them subject to federal motor carrier safety
right.
regulations.
If you're still intrastate.
Yes, if you're solely California, that number is only a number in order to mesh our data information into the federal database for purposes of gaining that score.
Okay. Wow. There's a lot of changes coming.
A lot of changes, Carl. You know, and from my side, we're going through a number of changes, not just with the requirements of the program, but with automation and how we're going to conduct business. So we have a lot of things we're contending with as well. But again, I want to stress we're here to help. That's our business. Don't be afraid to call us. We're always available to answer questions. And the last thing I want to see or any of my personnel want to see is a citation issued needlessly.
Okay, now how do they get a hold of you or people to talk to about this? Because now people are going, I didn't know that. And because I know that there's truckers listen to us and and a lot of businesses listen to us. So it's kind of like, so now I'm going to do this. So who do they talk to? They talk to you or somebody?
Okay, they want to give my unit a call. We have the phone staffed, normal business hours, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. And our phone number is 530-242-4357. That is a direct line into the motor carrier safety unit, and we have people that are well versed in all of these requirements at the phone to help you and guide you through the requirements. If necessary, we will come out and help you and assist you. And again, we have our commercial industry education program that can come out and educate on various topics within the requirements. We're at the loggers conferences. We're at various farm shows, different venues to help the industry understand what they have to comply with.
Well, it's a tough thing. And like you said, but you even send teams out to help you before this thing starts.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Tim Hugel, who is the unit supervisor out here for 13 counties of the motor carriers enforcement division. And he's talking about all these, all the things are going to impact starting January 1st for everybody that didn't have to worry. If you had a two-axle truck that you worked, that you had in your work and thought you were exempt from everything, not so fast.
Welcome to BIT.
Welcome to BIT. Hey, thanks a lot, Tim.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back after these messages.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Are you ready for cage fights at Wind River Resort and Casino?
The best place in Northern California to offer MMA cage fighting.
Fight Night 32. This intense, action-packed night is presented by Wind River Resort and Casino and Rogue Fights. Extreme mixed martial arts cage fighting at the Event Center. On Saturday, October 17th at 7:30, it's in the cage. Full contact fighting, no limits. Bringing you another night of an extreme fighting in Redding. Amateur title and pro fights. This event sells out. Get your tickets now. Up to 12 bouts of MMA in the cage. On Saturday, October 17th, the Event Center will roar with the thrill of the extreme cage fights Wind River Resort and Casino is bringing you. Don't miss this event. Get your tickets now online or at the River Club. Great entertainment is happening with Fight Night 32 at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Must be 21 to attend this extreme event.
For details or to reserve a room in our luxurious hotel, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to winriver.com. Cage fights are better at the River.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. It is 10 minutes till 8 o'clock here on Friday, the 2nd of October. Phone lines here, 605-4567. Congressman LaMoffa will be calling in at the 8 o'clock hour, somewhere after 8. 60 degrees out there, weather brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give him a call at 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Does what other businesses can't. That's right. Gives guarantees. If you got a chip to a crack over 24 inches in length, Jeff Wurst can fix it. A veteran-owned business, one of integrity and professionalism. Jeff Wurst will fix it. If he can't fix it, he'll tell you up front. If it starts to spread, for some reason the crack continues after he fixes it, bring it back in, he fixes it for free. Give him a call, 241-8373, or stop by 3208 Market Street right here in Reading. He fixed a 12-inch crack in my windshield 7 years ago. It's still fixed. What can I say about that, except it still works. Okay. Hey, let's talk about a few things here. You know, this shooting up in Oregon. You know, immediately, you know, President Obama comes out and he talks about another mass tragedy. And if he had stopped there and said, you know, my prayers go out to everybody, you know, he says, well, they say I'm going to politicize it. Well, I am. And he said it. I am going to politicize it because here's another mass shooting. Because somebody got access to guns. Well, I think there's like 100 million guns in the country. So I don't see what the solution is here. If you're going to have a Second Amendment where I can have when I can have firearms and Eric can have firearms and you are under the Constitution says we can have firearms, law-abiding citizens that keep their guns under control in the sense of having them locked up or in a safe. Like that, and then you have instances like this. Was he crazy? Is it a person crazy if they go out and kill 10 people? There's got to be something wrong there, right? You could say that of all the people in the jail at San Quentin have been sentenced to death, over 700 of them in there, that there's something wrong with people, with these guys, because over half of them never been arrested before. So they did something. Something snapped or something did it where they or they've always been evil or they've always had something wrong there. And you don't get a death sentence unless you plan it, it's really cold-blooded, premeditated murder that you get the death sentence. So this guy goes out and he practices and he has his guns. It looks like he has a rifle and three pistols. And he goes out to start shooting people. And then here's the point. Did he really? Ask somebody if you're a Christian, and if you were, he shot you in the head, and if you weren't, he just shot you in the leg or in your torso, which is bad enough, of course. But the point is that obviously there's some mental health problems here. And is the answer, oh, you just take away all the guns, which you can't do, or is the question to start giving people mental health treatment that have problems, and for people to start noticing people with problems and start, you know, whether you like it or not, you start telling the authorities, oh, well, wait a minute, now you're going to start reporting your next door neighbor. Well, if your next door neighbor is acting erratically and could be a danger to themselves or to you or to other people, do you have the requirement to tell somebody about this, to do like maybe a health and comfort check? You know, for the police to do that or mental health officials. Hey, the guy next door, I haven't seen him in 6 weeks. Everything's piling up outside his door for 2 weeks. I haven't seen – everything's piling up outside his door. His back gate's open. I haven't seen it. His car hasn't moved. Don't you owe something like that to the community and for that person? And you say, well, why wait for 2 weeks? Well, you know, maybe you don't notice it. But all of a sudden you realize, you know what? There's something wrong here. So, you know, it's time to have the police come in. If you see something like that, Shasta College is saying, hey, if you see something erratic or something not right, tell the authorities about it. And I think it's the same thing they did in high schools after the first shooting is if you see something that doesn't look right, maybe you need to tell the authorities. Now, of course, you know, you can get into this where people use it as a vendetta. But I think for the very most part, that's not going to happen. There'll be times and instances that happen. And police have to be smart enough to figure that one out. And the school authorities have to be smart enough to figure that out. But it's time maybe to start paying attention to what's going on around you. It is time to start paying attention to what's going on around you. You know, one of the things that happens, too, is this is another gun-free zone. Isn't it funny how when you have gun-free zones that are promoted, that this is a gun-free zone, that then that means then a person walking into the campus with guns now has no opposition. In this case, the Umpqua Community College, they had one security guy on there for like 3,000 people who was unarmed. He's got mace. Oh, first of all, you have to get close enough to use mace. It's a gun-free zone except for the person with guns. The question always goes back. There's a veteran said, I had a gun in my car. It was 200 yards away. I couldn't even get to it. You know, he had a concealed carry permit, unable to carry on campus. Well, if he had had it, or she had it, or several had had it, and this guy starts shooting, and you're in a classroom, and a guy starts, and he starts shooting through the door, of course, you get, everybody, tries to take cover and all that. But, if somebody that's trained and returns fire at least makes him move. At least, at the very minimum, will at least make a move and maybe him change or maybe make him move. As have happened before when they've been confronted by armed citizens. They have stopped shooting. They have tried to escape and in some cases killed themselves before they could kill anybody. So when you have that capability, but as soon as you keep promoting gun-free zones, and I'm not trying to politicize this, but it's just true. You have gun-free zones, you have people, the person with the gun becomes the god in that zone because he chooses who lives and who dies. That's wrong. You've got to have a way of preventing it. You've got to have a way of defending yourself and your loved ones. I think people ought to really take a good look at this. You know, that if you've got a really good training programs for people for concealed carry, that maybe you ought to really think about, maybe they should be able to carry guns on campuses. You know, I mean, the idea of concealed carry is that you have the ability, you've gone through background checks, you've been trained, that perhaps having that ability will save your life or other people's lives. Oh, we're afraid if you have somebody with a concealed carry permit, they could, they got a gun, and I don't know if we should give them bad grades. Excuse me, but the person with the concealed carry permit's already gone through so many background checks and training. If there's anything in his or her background, it pops up. Yeah, I'm not just talking about somebody who can just buy a gun. I'm talking about to go through the big background check and going through the classes. So, anyway. Again, if there's anything that was anything of any bright light here was that the police were there from the time they said active shooter. They knew what kind of, the school went into an active shooter mentality, went into and started announcing, and the police were there within 8 minutes and engaging the shooter and taking him down. So, obviously, and you start talking about what this person is. Obviously, there's some mental aberrations here, an aloneness, things that could they be treated? We don't know. We won't know for a while until all this comes out. I'm not making statements about that. I'm just talking about, when you make a gun-free zone, you've made the person with the gun king, and I don't think you want that. The other good thing was that I saw, and if anything's good, is that the hospitals there were trained in these types of situations where they could take care of these, and have treated people, moved them on, triaged them and all that, and were able to handle this disaster there of the 10 people, 9 people killed and 7 wounded. So anyway, hey, when we come back from the news, we're going to have Congressman LaMalfa is calling in. And there's lots of questions people have for Congressman LaMalfa, and including myself, especially with Boehner leaving, what's going on in Syria, the voting on this last budget, all of these things. A lot of questions coming up for Congressman LaMalfa. So stay with us, and if you've got a question, hop into the chat room or just give us a call. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, 60 degrees out there today. It's 8 o'clock on the 2nd of October, a Friday.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well. News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The worst mass shooting in recent Oregon history, raising questions about security on the campus of Umpqua Community College in Roseburg. Douglas County Sheriff John Hanlon telling NBC's Today Show they have found a lot of weapons at the home of the suspected gunman.
Investigators have located a number of firearms that later today we will describe more as far as numbers and types of weapons.
President Obama used the shooting to support his push for more restrictive gun laws, but Larry Pratt, executive director of the Gun Owners of America, says gun control laws can make life more dangerous for innocent Americans.
The president's policies and those who support a disarmed populace result in dirtbags taking advantage of the disarmed populace.
And one underreported component of the shooting is that the gunman reportedly demanded to know the religion of the students, immediately killing all those who identified themselves as Christians. The chief economist at Wells Fargo, John Sylvia, says after today's disappointing jobs report, the Fed may hold off on raising interest rates.
I think anybody who thought the Fed was possibly going to move in October is off the board. That's
East Coast states already drenched by rain, expecting more and a possible hit from Hurricane Joaquin. A word to the wise for those in harm's way from FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate.
You don't have a plan, you wait to the last minute, and you run out of options. That's a very scary event for you and your family. Don't put yourself in that situation. Respect the power and danger of these storms.
The Category 4 hurricane has been battering the Bahamas today. A slow weakening of the storm is now expected to begin tomorrow. At Wall Street, it's been slow going for the major indexes after today's disappointing jobs report from the Labor Department. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
A new poll finds disapproval of the U.S. Supreme Court has never been higher.
A new Gallup poll finds about 50% of Americans disapprove of the highest court of the nation. That's the highest share of disapproval since Gallup began tracking the issue over the last 15 years. 45% said they approve of the court. 5% said they have no opinion. The poll comes as the court is poised to take up a number of high-profile issues, including capital punishment, affirmative action, and redistricting.
That's correspondent Linda Kenyon. John Boehner's retirement from Congress, touching off a scramble to restructure the leadership. California's Kevin McCarthy is a name most often mentioned. North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows thinks voters may want something else.
Kevin is certainly not John Boehner, but there are a lot of people who say we can't afford just to move people up. And
Meadows telling the State of the Radio Network he believes several other Republicans will enter the leadership race in coming days. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The United Nations Children's Agency says more than 500 children have been killed in the past 6 months in conflicts in Yemen, while more than 1.7 million are at risk of malnutrition there.
UNICEF says 10 million children, or 80% of all Yemen's under-18s, need urgent humanitarian assistance. Schools and hospitals have been destroyed. Food and water are in short supply. UNICEF estimates 500,000 children are already severely malnourished. The agency has received new funding, but faces serious obstacles getting supplies in.
That's BBC's Imogen Folks. Despite the dangers, Tuscaloosa police officer Mike Flowers taking an astounding record with him into retirement today. The 59-year-old captain who oversees the department's East Precinct and tactical team has never missed a day of work in 35 years. More of these stories at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda will be back Monday. She'll be back Monday. She's over there in a kind of a mini reunion for her and three of her girlfriends, her fellow performers that were part of the Gold Diggers Act that accompanied Dean Martin throughout Vegas and tours throughout the United States. So they get together every so often. In this case, they're getting together the last 3 days over in Cambria, California, on the coast there next to the Hearst Castle. It was a pretty good deal for them. 8:07 in the morning here, and the weather looks like what, Eric? I'm going to let you do the whole weather. I want you to do it for the weekend. Just don't do it for today. Do it for the weekend.
Okay. Yeah, it's currently 60 degrees out there. Cooling down, high of 88 today, low of 58. Tomorrow's going to be a high of 76 with a low of 60. And then Sunday, we're looking at a high of 80 and a low of 58. So it's looking like it's finally cooling down.
It is. And weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Pretty soon, it's our customers are warm friends. Veteran-owned business, award-winning business, is Shasta Gas Propane. Chuck and Judy Kinney, and they have, of course, it's veteran-owned, and they give discounts to seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Hey, you know, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. With the new Sleep Number IQ technology, where you can just sleep, and the bed reads how you sleep and gives you a little app. It gives you a little text message that's saying, hey, look, you might want to try this or this. I mean, you think, oh, that's just too much. No, it's not. Because you may be tossing and turning in your sleep. Maybe, you know, some nights are different. It might give you some ideas on how to adjust that dual-layer technology, because each side of that bed allows you to adjust how firm you sleep. My Sleep Number setting is 50. Linda's Sleep Number setting is 40. I've noticed that my Sleep Number setting is getting higher as the time goes on, and you know, say if I've got some aches and pains, I sleep at a different angle or a different firmness there. Anyway, but it works. And right now, if you head on down to the Sleep Number store, you can get a Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology starting at only $1,099.98. That's right, under $1,100. But this bed has been rated number one by Consumer Reports. It's made in America. It has guarantees. And you'll never sleep better than you have on the Sleep Number bed. Head on down to Target Shopping Center. Go see Brian or Janice over there. Lay on the bed. You are going to like it. You are going to appreciate this bed in your life. I just know you will. Okay. A lot of people lining up here, Freeman, and Jimmy, and Red. And I wonder, are you going to ask him why he supports the continuing resolution which funds Planned Parenthood to December 11th so he can vote again for it while no one is watching? Okay, that's a pretty open question there. I am going to ask him about that. I am going to ask him about why he supported that. I'm going to ask the congressman, what about Boehner? What's going down with this guy, the new guy that's coming in here, McCarthy, that's having problems already? What about a few others that are coming, you know, other questions with Syria? I'm concerned about Syria. I'm concerned about what's happening in our Defense Department. I'm concerned about what's happening in Iran. What happened to the Iranian nuclear deal? I'm concerned about all of these things. I'm concerned the fact that people are – the unrest that people are facing right now, and that that we as a nation are facing, that with Russia taking over in the Middle East. That concerns me too. Why? Because if Russia becomes the major power over there, then they control a lot of the oil supply of the world. And not so much that it affects us. We could, if we wanted to, if we had a president that wanted to, we could take care of all of our oil needs here. But there's others, like in Europe, that need these. And Russia can start tightening the screws on things that starts to isolate us. So these are concerns that I have, and I hope that the congressman has those concerns. And I'm going to get into the veterans' issues. I'm sure we will. They're getting ready to put one of the VA employees, one of the higher-ups, it looks like is going to go to jail, finally, for the criminal acts they've been committing. So these are things. Anyway, the EPA, and here's something else, too. I want to ask them about the EPA. EPA is changing, setting up harsher ozone standards, which is, again, going to hit business. So, of course, the Chamber of Commerce and the business leaders, everybody saying, wait a minute, you've just killed us on coal. Now you're going to do this on other manufacturing, and it's going to hit us again in the pocketbook. It's going to push business overseas, because if we can't do it here, you got to do it someplace. Oh, that's just push them overseas. Is this what he wants? Is this what Obama wants? Push all of our production capabilities overseas, and then we don't have it here in our country? And then complain about why there's no jobs for our people? Well, there's a lot of questions here. Why don't you, Eric, roll over there and close that door, and we have Congressman LaMoffa on the phone. Good morning, Congressman. Good morning, Congressman. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here. Hey. Okay, you're on live. Congressman Doug LaMoffa with Carl Bott.
How's it going today?
Well, it's been interesting today. I just had a guy on from the California Highway Patrol, Tim Hugo, who takes care of all the, commercial trucking and all this. State of California, you probably know it. State of California is now taking the basic inspections of terminals down to two axle trucks.
I mean, like a 1-ton pickup, or
yeah, or if you're using it in business and you're using it for business, yeah, now the inspections start. And he says, a lot of people don't know this, but, if you're using it for carrying and all this, and it's over, I think it's over 10,000 pounds gross weight, then you need to keep logs. And, of course, there's a cost of doing all those things. He said, this is going to start 1 January. So we're
talking 1-ton pickup.
Yeah, essentially that, yeah. And if you put a flatbed on it immediately, but,
Well, we had flatbed legislation to... when I was at the state, to say, a flatbed doesn't haul any more weight than a pickup with sides on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really wouldn't be that useful to make them run through the scales every time and have to have all that, all those headstands, because, if you overload one, then it's going to have the same effects as if you overload a regular pickup bed. But, you can't get that logic through the state legislature. And it is really frustrating to try and do any kind of business in the state, and that extends to running up and down the freeways. And I don't know how much longer the people of California will put up with the nonsense that comes out of Sacramento.
Well, it just keeps going on and on. Hey, I'm going to take an early break so I can have more time with you. Are you going to be able to be with us most of the day or most of the morning?
There's still a finite amount of time in a 60-hour time frame, but I'm happy to.
Oh, okay. I only want 5 hours. Okay, look, we're going to take a quick break then, but this portion of the show is brought to you by View 202. Linda's going to be singing down there, and it's not going to be at brunch this Sunday. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. out on the veranda still. A new sound, piano, sax, a new sound out there for September. And it's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. this Sunday at View 202. Same great deals on wines and all the drinks. Give them a call at 226-8439. And join us out there, because it's on the veranda for dinner. It's going to be just beautiful. That's View 202. We're going to take a quick break. Congressman Doug LaMoffa is our guest. We've got people on phones. I've got questions coming, just flying off the chat room. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us. We will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy. View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Joan Armatrading is coming to Reading for a very special solo evening performance at the Cascade Theater. This diva, known for her passionate guitar and soulful vocals, is on her last large-scale tour, and she's doing it solo. An intimate evening with a powerhouse, Joan Armatrading, at the Cascade, October 22nd. Get tickets now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Leesig's of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott. Good morning. It's Friday, the 2nd of October. 60 degrees out there, going out to 88. This portion of the show brought to you by Mighty Fine Foods. Over 1,000 cold drinks, including 250 different kinds of beers, 350 liquor and wine choices. Locally owned, locally operated. It's got a deli that is just simply outstanding. And Barbecue Friday. That's right. Get ready for Friday. Get ready for football. Because go on down and get all your barbecue. Get your cold drinks. Get ready for the game. One-stop shopping right there at 299 in Deschutes. Locally owned and operated. Back under the original ownership. Father and son. Great people down there. Kyle and his dad. Mighty Fine Foods. 299 in Deschutes. Right there in Bella Vista. Our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And Congressman, a lot of stuff happening in the House and other places back in D.C.
Yes, certainly. Where do you want to start?
Okay, let's start with Boehner stepping down. It looks like right now is a guy by the name of a Californian by the name of Kevin McCarthy has got the lead for going in there.
He's the heavy favorite. The vote will be held next Thursday.
There's a big fight going against him, though, right?
Oh, yeah, it's the usual, you know, I better watch my language here, but a show that goes on with any time there's a leadership change or a demand for one. So, you know, I've known Kevin since I first got to the Assembly back in late 2002 and have a great amount of confidence in his ability to lead and accomplish things and hold the team together. So, you know, I will support him and happy to do so. And I think it's actually going to be positive for California because we have a guy who's right there in the middle of pitching on the water battle and trying to make our state stronger from what it has to overcome, not only with Sacramento, but Washington, D.C. So, you know, I think it'll be good.
Do you think he's in the same vein as Boehner was?
What does that mean?
Well, Boehner was, according to a lot of things, was that Boehner worked really hard with President Obama. And
the president in the Senate, Boehner.
Well,
if you sat in our conference meetings, you'd see that you can hardly talk to the guy across the street. On the fiscal cliff, which is about 2 days before I got there, they actually had to get Biden in there to get a conversation. But before that tax business expired at the time, so no, he's not. That's part of the misconception, and it's fun and it's popular to do that. And, you know, and it's also a really good tool to have Republicans divided against each other. So not only does the left and the media do it, but we have some of our conservative groups that you know, I used to think pretty highly of, that are trying to pitch that all the time so they can fundraise off of it. So I'm really sick of it. Boehner's not a perfect guy. Sometimes I vote against his stuff, but if you're actually in the meetings with us and listen to what he talked about, then you'd see, like, well, you know, we're largely all into the same ballpark. So, you know, but hey, he's going to be gone soon, so everybody can rejoice about that. That's continuing to grind away on it, and we'll have a new fellow from, you know, Bakersfield, who's going to be pitching for California. But, you know, they'll start to complain on him because he ain't perfect either. So what I say is whatever.
Really?
Yep.
Are you getting, you know, Congressman, you seem like you're I don't know if what's the right word here. Is that, you know, are you getting there some cynicisms creeping into you, into your attitude here? Because it appears that it has. I mean, I've known you for a long time, but I haven't heard that kind of like that tone there. Well, you know, so what? So whatever. That
well,
kind
when
of thing.
People call my office all the time with stuff they don't even understand and they don't want to hear the answers on it, then, you know, you can't help them. But we're here to try to educate, to let people know what we're doing back there, what we're trying to do, and that I still stand for the same values as I campaigned on, whether this election or the first one, you know, back in 2002. So it's we're in a time right now where everything is being questioned, and that's fine. You know, we're all to be held accountable. But if people don't want to hear the facts, if they don't want to hear from the people that represent them or what's going on, instead they want to believe what's coming off the internet or what people are, you know, pushing around a bunch of emails or saying this or that, and when they aren't even in the room and they're not willing to listen to me, and I've been completely honest with them at every town hall, every meeting, every conversation about what it is we're trying to do or the way I understand it or whatever, then, you know, it kind of pushes you to a point where for my own part of it, you kind of just have to get a thicker skin and say, all right, well, they're going to call me names, or they're going to call my colleagues names, and based on information that is a little sketchy. And, you know, we're busting our tails back there to try and push America back the right way. Why don't we talk more about what's keep continuing to come down from the White House and all the agencies?
Well, I do want to talk about that. I've got a lot of questions about that one too, but I've got somebody on the line that wants to ask a question about veterans. Linda, do you have a question for Congressman LaMoffa?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, you're on. He can hear you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Congressman LaMoffa. My name is Linda Johnson.
Oh, hi, Linda.
I saw you in June in Washington, D.C., and again when you were here in Reading. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know about H.R. 1769. I want to thank you for signing H.R. 969, the Blue Water Sailor.
Yes. Yep. I'm glad to help out on that.
Okay. What's the other one, Linda?
1769 is the toxic exposure for the Vietnam vets.
Or is that...
969 is Blue Water.
Right, right. You know, again, off the top of my head, where the status of bill numbers on this phone call is not going to be easy for me to do, but we're happy to certainly answer any question on that with you if you check with our office. But we want to work through...
Okay.
...continuing to help... make right what was wrong then on Vietnam and on this horrific Agent Orange business here. The Blue Water one was to help the Vietnam personnel that were not only on land but near it that were handling or exposed to Agent Orange, and so we're trying to make that right as well.
Does that answer your question, Linda?
Well,
I know it
yes,
doesn't.
Like I said, I want to thank him for signing the 969. I was wondering if he thinks that 969 will ever get to the floor.
It's still got to get through committee there. That's my colleague from Central California is carrying that bill. We'll help push that.
Okay, well, I appreciate
right,
it.
Because, you know,
and
the bottom line is,
I hope to talk to you soon and with you co-sponsoring 1769.
The fiscal
thank you.
Folks will say, hey, it costs money, but I don't see that as an excuse to not make right on that, because these fellows who handled Agent Orange did it in good faith, and we have to have good faith to make sure that they're able at this late date to still get some kind of help with that. You know, I've met with quite a few of them around the North State since, you know, in this last 2.5 years. And they're still getting shorter. They're still getting denied by VA. And it's shameful. I understand there's an Agent Orange meeting, I think, coming up tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. From 5 to 7 p.m. tomorrow morning, or tomorrow afternoon.
I'm planning on coming by at that. What time did you say, Westfall?
It's 5 to 7 at the Vets Hall, and they're going to talk about the impact Agent Orange has had, not just on the people that were in Vietnam, but their descendants, their children, their grandchildren, and now they're saying it could go down to 5 generations.
Yeah, genetically it keeps going on.
It just keeps giving. Hey, okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Linda.
Okay. Congressman, I want to ask you about what's going on in Syria. This, I think, is as serious a problem as we could have. And what's the general consensus there in Congress about what's happening in Syria?
Well, the consensus, again, is a split on which side of the aisle you're on. You know, we've basically withdrawn from the situation, and now the Russian bear is in there making a heyday. And my understanding of it, I don't get to be quite briefed on everything like the Intel Committee guys do, but that we have a situation where the Russians may well be bombing the people that are friendly towards our side of the issue on ISIS, and the people that were trying to help out a little bit with Syria. So I don't think Russia's really defended, focused on defeating ISIS, but trying to keep Assad propped up in Syria is their bigger thing. And so that's not good. It's a lack of leadership. Again, coming from the U.S. and drawing red lines that don't mean anything, and not even know where to draw the red line. So, I think the general consensus is it's going even worse than it was before we, about a year ago, tried to put something together that would support those that want to fight ISIS, either in Syria or Iraq, and that's just degrading. You know, we're finding out the administration's management of what legislation we packaged was basically half-hearted at best.
Well, what I have here then, you know, is since the Russians have taken it in, and it could just be the first step in isolating the United States by taking over the oil-rich countries, and obviously no response from Obama. In fact, they've had 3 different responses. The military is up in arms. I shouldn't say that, up in arms. They're totally confused about what they're supposed to do. But what this has resulted in, the Obama doctrine, is millions of refugees. And I've had 3 or 4 times people mentioned here on the chat room. What about all the Muslims that are entering the country, the hundreds of thousands that are entering the country? Is this an Obama prerogative? Is this something that Congress should get into about who can come to this country? How many thousands and thousands of people coming in that are, a lot of them are of military age and male?
It's we see how it's flooding Europe right now, and the United States has been blessed by the Atlantic Ocean since its founding, that it's protected us from a lot of things, but we don't seem to be protected from our own government anymore, and our own White House, who is encouraging all this. We're still under a regime of refugee protocols that were put down, I think, 30 years ago, through where the UN basically directs, you know, if the Western countries are going to take in refugees, the UN directs who they are and where they go. And the UN does not have the best interests of us or many of our allies like Israel at heart, so I imagine that they're going to be targeting the ones that are going to be the worst, the most likely to start terror cells within our country, within Western Europe. I mean, Western Europe, I just shudder for how things are going there. And, you know, Germany's Angela Merkel there was being all generous about it a few weeks ago. Now they're seeing a very, very bad immediate side effect of the ungrateful refugees coming in, making demands, and they will not be assimilating into their culture, and they won't be assimilating in our culture. So my colleagues have legislation we're working on, looking at, but here's this basic math problem we have in Washington lately. It's 218 plus 60 plus 1 to do anything. And so we need 218 House votes, which we accomplish and do accomplish a lot. That's part of the problem that we all face on misconceptions about whether it's a speaker or someone else. Oh, you guys aren't doing anything. You guys aren't fighting back there. The House legislates the proper things that are, I think, conservative values and American values. They get over to the Senate. Now, last year's Senate, they never got a hearing. This time around, with Mitch McConnell in charge, they at least get hearings. They can get committee votes or what have you, but they don't move past the floor until they get 60 votes, which means you have to get at least six Democrats to move on something. That's why this Iran arms deal, this Iran, the nuclear deal, failed over there. It's unbelievable to me that it didn't even get to a real vote in the Senate. And here we are going now. So this week we passed legislation to at least require, before any of that $100+ billion in frozen assets the U.S. has frozen of Iran's holdings here, that the very first thing, this is the Pat Meehan's bill, should be that we would pay for and pay restitution to the families that are victims of Iran's terrorism. And that adds up to around $45 billion. The courts have, international courts have looked at this and awarded these damages to hundreds of people that have been, their families that have been, had a family member, a loved one killed in the line of Iran's sponsorship of terrorism. So there's $45 billion or so waiting to be awarded that wasn't even part of the deal. And so we passed a bill out of the House this week. It was actually, I think, yesterday. And the really, really sad thing about it is we got 251 votes, and only 10 of those votes were Democrats. They couldn't bring themselves to vote for something to pay restitution to victims of terror because they're so aligned with this president and what he wants to do, because it might not look like it's supporting his Iran deal. So, yeah, I'm really, really wondering what the state of this institution is anymore.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, Reid did it, so, and I've got people lined up here, but Reid did it. He made it so that you had, that you only needed 50+1 on certain things, like, you know, for judges. Can't McConnell do that if he wants to? He says, hey, on this one, we're going to suspend it. We're going to vote 50-1 on this one, 50+1.
That's what we were hoping in the House side they would do. We kind of thought, like, you know, you could make this case to the American people that this is an important enough issue. There's enough gravity to this issue that even the media would be trying to pound them. Oh, this is just partisan politics. You're just usurping power by changing the rules. Yeah, Harry Reid did that so that they could pound through their judicial appointments,
yeah,
and agency appointments, or whatever other ones were on their list at the time. And a bunch of us thought, and we even signed a petition that, you know, we should do that for this, or ask the Senate to do that.
Yeah.
But the Senate, I think, is playing what if we fall into the minority football right now. It's like prevent defense, in a way, you know. They say, well, we could be, you know, if we lost some seats, we'd be in the minority, and then we wouldn't have that power. It would be simple majority to do all this stuff.
Well, but Reid did it, and they lost. So why can't we, just while we've still got the power over there, it just seems like, why don't we pass these things and get, you know, make it happen, make the president veto it, and then go over it again? I mean, they do it, and yet the Republicans won't.
Well, McConnell won't, but I think part of his logic would be like, well, we could get it out on the simple majority, but the Iran deal still requires, you know, we would get it out of the House, we'd get it out of the Senate. With the simple majority, it would go down the street to Pennsylvania, he'd veto it, and come back to Capitol Hill, where you still have to muster a two-thirds vote to override the president's veto. And so when at best the number was, I think, 58 in the Senate, you're still 9 short on the veto, and the Dems seem to be holding tight with whatever the president wants.
Yeah.
So, and the House didn't quite muster two-thirds in the initial vote either. I think it was, 260 or something, and you need 290.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a logic to that over there by McConnell in the Senate. So we're not going to use the nuclear option of blowing up the Senate rule to 51 because we only get two-thirds anyway.
Well,
at some point, it just swings both ways. You got to try.
Yeah, right? You've got to try. I mean, Congress needs to push him, and if he won't do it, then he needs to be replaced. Let's go to the phones. Oh, he hung up. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Well, if you call back, you can get back on now. The next, I've just skipped the 7:30 or the 8:30 break because the continuing resolution, Congressman. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
The a lot of anguish from people saying we just funded Planned Parenthood, and at least through December 11th. Is there a plan from the House about defunding at least parts of Planned Parenthood, the $1.3 billion a year they get?
Well, okay, well, here we have to untrack how that actually worked, is that approximately April each year, the funding in the budget, whether it's a budget or a CR or what have you, goes to, I think it's National Institutes of Health. One of the health organizations for which Planned Parenthood then applies for grants, as others apply for, to carry out so-called health activities. Well, the organization regularly awards these grants around April. So what our stopgap continuing resolution did was fund the government from October 1 through December 11th, I think it is. So we'll be right back in the soup December 11th doing another round on CR or appropriations or what have you. I mean, the really sad thing here is that the Appropriations Committee is the proper way to be doing this because it's an involved process where there's 12 different aspects of the budget that's broken down into different categories like interior appropriations. For example, we had a really good interior bill that got blown up by this fuss over the Confederate flag. And so it just stopped it because the Dems threw these amendments in on Confederate flag that was one side or the other was extremely unhappy with it, and so it just froze the bill. So now we're back to the point where if we don't have these in place, the 12 different pieces of the budget in an appropriation, then we have to do last year's budget carried forward. So to get to the Planned Parenthood question, there's no money in this 3 months continuation of the budget. The money that came from it would have come from last year in the Cromnibus, which I didn't support, in the giants lumped together of all the things that were supposed to be done in the appropriations. Cromnibus did that. And so that funding was awarded in April, and that question doesn't come up again until next April on funding that's already in line. So in no way did this almost three-month extension continue anything on Planned Parenthood. Now, if we did pass legislation to try and peel it back, you know, again, that's the stuff the House can pass all day long, is to repeal that funding, but it doesn't go anywhere in the Senate, and it wouldn't go anywhere at the White House. And so we're, you know, the Speaker said, look, I've been trying for 20-something years to try and put a stop to Planned Parenthood, and what we've never had is 60 Republican votes in the Senate during that time. But we got to find other ways to do it, and I think these ongoing investigations of Planned Parenthood, we're finding more and more all the time. You know, a bunch of jet airplane trips and a bunch of parties that they're using this money for, and they still claim, well, it's money that comes from our own income, our own fundraising. We're not using that grant money for that. We're not using that grant money for abortions, yet they provide some high percentage of all abortions in the country, and they provide 0% of the mammograms they try and claim when they say it's this big women's health thing that they're all doing. And then for the life of me, I can't figure out how you can connect the sale of baby parts to women's health.
I read something that said that the House was working on a way that the Senate can't peel it off.
Budget reconciliation is the way we're looking at it.
Yes. Okay. And the Senate can't peel it off, but yet you can repeal or you can cut off their money, at least some, you know, at least part
of it. If we make it very pertinent towards certain aspects of funding of that, if we can show that there's a decrease in funding, that the budget reconciliation is a very specific way of doing business. So people would say, why don't you do it farther and wider? Well, Paul Ryan explained to us in the rules here, they reminded us how that works in our conference meeting, that in order to be able to use the budget reconciliation, it has very specific things you have to do. So we would like to do much wider things, but we will attack it in this particular area. And so as the investigations continue to go on, these committee hearings and the Planned Parenthood people come forward and this other stuff comes out on it in the videos and how they're spending the money,
you know, we're going to have a stronger case when it counts, when the amount of money would be infused to them in next April. And so whether that comes to a head in December 11, I'm not quite sure at this point when this current continuing resolution expires. But wouldn't it be beautiful if we got back to being able to use the Appropriations Committee process where we vet every item of the 12 different assets aspects of the U.S. budget and do the better process? I'm not happy about this CR business at all, but for anybody to believe that this extension through December 11 further Planned Parenthood, that is absolutely wrong, and I stand by that. So, you know, there's...
So you want to defund...
It does, but, you know, I wouldn't vote for this. I don't know why anybody would think they would vote for that.
You want to defund Planned Parenthood, then?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. The when we talk about what's going on in the military right now, and the fact that the Department of Navy secretary is making decisions to arbitrarily, you know, to go against studies that the Marine Corps has made, 9 months of studies, and California Congressman Duncan Hunter has called for the resignation or the replacement of the Secretary of the Navy. Are you familiar with that?
Not quite.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to talk about it, but essentially is what...
Sorry.
essentially what Duncan Hunter is saying is that this guy is again... It seems like there's a concerted effort, and you talk to a lot of veterans, to weaken our military at the same time Russia is moving into the Middle East.
There's definitely that, the way senior officers are retiring or being forced to retire or muscled into retiring.
So what's being done about that? I mean, it's clear that it's happening, and I mean, I haven't even gotten into the VA. The Army's not making the recruitment numbers. The fact is that, and there's a number of reasons for that, but isn't it up to Congress, our elected representatives, to step in there and say, look, if you're going to do this, we're going to, you know, we are going to hammer you in some way, and not by cutting off the money to the military.
Well, our NDAA bill this week that the president's threatening to veto does have some cost of living adjustments for our military personnel,
right,
which is only right. And so the House passed that. It's going to go over to the Senate. I don't know what they're going to do. But the president already promises a veto, which not only does it have that in there, but has a lot of other important aspects of actually funding the operations of it. So the problem, once again, comes mostly down to the White House, where when you separate the powers of the legislative branch versus executive, you know, we pass the laws, we create things, we fund them, and then it's up to the White House to carry them out. And Carl, I don't want to be sitting here all day saying, oh, it's always a problem, it was the fault of the White House, but we have a constitutional crisis, where not only are the separation of powers unequal, they're heavily weighted towards the White House, and then we look across the street to the Supreme Court, they're legislating from over there, so we have to somehow beat that legally or change the law to do it, and we don't get the cooperation to change the law.
That's a good question, too, but I've got people on the phone here, so...
Sure.
Terry, good morning. You have a question for the congressman.
I do. Good morning, congressman.
Hello.
Is he there?
He said hello.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the question I have is that, for myself, I really don't belong to any more organizations or anything. I've resigned from just about everything just to try to get some things done, hopefully, that can be positive. But my question for you is that I understand that, you know, with the TPA, I understand with Boehner, I understand with all these things that you're doing. And, you know, to me, I think the rub is that when you make condescending remarks to us that, you know, just kind of be quiet, you don't understand what goes on, pat us on the head and spank us on the butt, I don't think that's the case. You may be, you know, are you just too clever for us and we can't keep up? Because really and truly, I'm with Carl. I'm kind of wondering about the attitude, frankly. And I don't mean to be rude, but, you know, we just want to know what's going on.
Rude. You know, I've been to the Tea Party meetings. I get called all these names on your internet stuff and all that, so, you know, I'm not going to sit there and take that. So I've been as honest as I ever have been, and you guys, if you don't want to hear the answers, then I'm not going to force them down your throat. So it's just a matter of me trying to come out and say, no, this is actually what TPA means. TPA is not the same thing as TPP, which I probably don't support. And so the speaker isn't the monster he's been made out to on the internet, and everybody that come up to see me, why don't you get rid of that guy? Like, well, because it's not like what you say it is. So it's not condescending, but if people don't want to hear it, I'm not going to spend all my time trying to get people that don't want to hear it to say it. So what do you have to say to that?
I couldn't hear anything you said. I had to turn on the radio. I'm sorry, sir. You're not even coming through. I can't hear you at all. I did hear, like, TPA and Boehner. As far as the opinion of Boehner, all the presidential candidates were applauding when he left. You seem to be the only guy standing behind him. But my point is that, you know, I did hear Tea Party. I don't belong to any boards or anything anymore, so I really don't know what you're talking about. I attend those meetings and like the idea of people being able to talk about liberty and talk about freedom. So really and truly, again, you know, this I'm bringing to you, a feeling that is not just in one county, but we'd kind of like to see the guy that really got elected and not just representing just a few people, but all of us. And please don't go into your thing about, you know, well, people call me more about wanting to get rid of guns than they do wanting to have guns. That's because all your people do want to have the Second Amendment right. So, you know, really and truly, just, you know, please try to represent us.
Okay, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what I'm trying to do. But, you know, when you got people taking false information about me or what we're doing in Washington and still trying to hit me in the face with that, even when I'm trying to tell information to people what I'm doing. I haven't changed except for Carl. Maybe I'm a little more thick-skinned about this because I'm human too on this.
And yeah.
People keep saying things at me or to me, accusing things that I have not done wrong or have not done opposite of what they
think.
I still embrace.
Yeah.
The idea of constitutional government and people participating. When the Tea Party first started, and by and large, most Tea Party people I know are still for those things. But we have a few that are I think, gone off the rails on some of this stuff. So it's sad because, by and large, most of them are still patriots that want to come forward and get their government back and have people follow the Constitution. And that's what I wake up every day in D.C. and try to do is uphold those values. But, you know, it's not easy because we have opposition in the Senate, we have opposition in the White House, we have opposition in the press that always wants to focus on what a few House Republicans are doing. And so I wish everybody would join instead of focusing on how bad conservatives aren't getting everything done, is why don't we put the fight back on who the enemy is.
Okay.
The ones that are trying to undermine American values.
Hey, Congressman.
That's the issue.
Hey, Congressman, I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back, and let's talk about some things that are happening from your point of view that can help do that, can help achieve some of the requirements we need as Americans here, and not just conservative and not conservative Americans, but just Americans. I know there's a lot of things going on. So I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back to Congressman Doug LaMalfa. This portion of the show, though, has been brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Veteran-owned business that provides discounts for seniors and veterans. It's man's last stronghold, the Cheers of Barbershops. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. We'll be right back after these messages.
Everyone wants to be a hero. It's part of our DNA. Join One Safe Place as we honor local heroes, survivors, coaches, law enforcement, tribal leaders, military, and parents. Be a Hero to Your Children is a One Safe Place benefit dinner to help support a community affected by family violence. With special keynote speaker, consultant to the NBA, MLB, NFL, educator, and activist, TED Talks Tony Porter. Be a Hero to Your Children benefit dinner is on Thursday, October 22nd, at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. To purchase your hosted table now, before they're all gone, call One Safe Place at 244-0118, extension 206. Sponsored in part by Region 3 Safe Program and Shasta Regional Medical Center. And remember, not all heroes wear capes.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at 5starbank.com. 5-Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Sierra Pacific Industries is proud to support our crew members, their families, and our local high school football teams. We look forward to watching your families grow over the years. Please enjoy the game and be safe before, during, and after. Let's keep our community safe, and together we can keep teams safe.
Sierra Pacific Industries has over 4,450 crew members and is a proud sponsor of North State football. For more information on Sierra Pacific Industries and to see what jobs are available, visit their website at spi-ind.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's 62 degrees out there. It's going up to 88 today. It's going to be a little bit warmer tomorrow, but then cooler into the high 70s or low 80s on Sunday. And come on out to View 202 from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and listen to Linda sing out there in the veranda. Just give them a call out there and make reservations. It'll be crowded. A lot of things going on, and our guest is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Congressman, I mean, there's a lot of consternation going on. Let's try and end this with some things that are positive that you see that are coming here, that things that we can look into saying, okay, hey, look, this is moving forward. That's in a positive sense.
Okay.
Well. There is, you know what, there are some, right?
Harvest is underway. We had a beautiful full moon the other night. Yeah,
blood moon. Okay, come on. I mean, there's got to be something that's working.
2016 is coming. We're going to have an election in, 13 months, and the White House will be changed in 16 months, so we can fumigate and cleanse that and hopefully go a new direction. If we go in the same Hillary or Bernie Sanders direction, then I don't know how many more torpedoes we can take in the side of the ship of state here. But so it's critical that instead of being divided amongst ourselves, we focus on 2016 and get it right. You know, I've my guy Scott Walker that I liked from the beginning, I thought he had the just right pedigree and track record and ability, dropped out, so now I'm regrouping and seeing who I'm going to.
Okay, well, that's a good question. That's a good question. Who are you looking at? I mean, who do you think's got a chance? First of all, do you think Hillary's going to even make it to the primaries?
Well, she's going to have a hard time because the stuff keeps mounting, but she does have a lot of loyalty on the other side no matter what she does. What crime does she have to do in order to finally shake them? Maybe there isn't one. So, you know, but I actually think Joe Biden's going to emerge pretty soon here, and for whatever he may be, I think, you know, people will like him okay, and he'll be formidable. So it's not going to be easy no matter who they put up. Well, maybe it's easier if they put up Bernie Sanders. I don't know. But, you know, I think the short list looks like Marco Rubio. I had a chance to meet with Carly Fiorina the other night. She's very impressive.
I like Carly. I don't know if for president, but I think she needs to be in there someplace.
I think she needs to have a role. I think Ben Carson needs to have a role here. And, you know, there's a reason that she and Ben are so high in the polls. I'll say the Donald also. You know, there's a reason because they're saying things and they're outsiders and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I don't know that Donald is a guy that is really going to govern effectively. You know, I'm probably making half your callers mad that like him. But, you know, I mean, is the ability there to hammer it out on a day-to-day basis with what the executive branch has to do, with going up to the Hill where the Congress is, you know? I mean, when he says, we're just going to do it, well, I'd like to say I can just do it, but I'd be lying to the voters on it, too. So, you know, I look at shortlist, might have Marco Rubio, maybe Carly, but, you know, it's really hard right now. But there's a bunch of guys that are wasting everybody's time by being on there, too, as candidates that... as Walker said on his exit, it'd be nice to get this field narrowed down to about, you know, six or something like that, and people can start seeing what the differences are on the Republican ticket that are going to matter here. So,
yeah.
But it's hard to pick anybody right now, but I think, again, Rubio's been pretty impressive lately. His immediate ability, his acumen on being able to answer a question and have a well-thought-out policy on it, it's been pretty impressive, and Carly's done that as well. So, you know, people got to be able to communicate this stuff to average voters out there.
Hey, Congressman, this guy that in this terrible tragedy up in Oregon, isolating, you know, if indeed this happened. Of course, you know, you, something like this is just all the different news reports. But asking people if it's indeed happened, asking if they were Christian and killing them. There's a lot of people talking.
Yeah, the press isn't reporting that.
Yeah.
Either, Carl. They're just saying, you know, he's asked about their religion. But it is a full-court press on Christians these days. But go ahead, please.
Well, that's the question is. It is a full-court press on Christians. It seems like Christian, if you're a Christian, you're under attack in this country many times.
And across the world even much more so. Yeah.
Oh, and across the world they just slaughter you. But in this country here. And it leads to, you know, they talk about, oh, no, you can't say anything about Islam or anything because it can lead to blowback. But yet it seems like every time you turn around, the Christians are being assaulted.
Where the blowback starts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at the source. So, but we can't say that, right? Well, I'm not going to not say it. But, you know, until the Islam community starts holding itself accountable to being this peaceful thing, you know, you hardly see anything denouncing of the activities of that, and instead it's focused on, you know, how people are perceiving them. Well, there's a lot of reality to perception, and it keeps getting played over and over again in what happens in the world. So why are there millions or hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing Arab countries where Islam rules, you know, because they don't quite hold to the standard if they happen to be Christians or they happen to be not quite dedicated enough to what the extremists are saying. But then when they come to the Western countries, do they wish to assimilate and come to what is the greatness of America or what's, you know, what's good about Western Europe and those cultures?
Mm-hmm.
No, they want to maintain their own. I've seen plenty of videos of how ungrateful they are when they show up demanding this and demanding, you know, the food not come in a box with the Red Cross sign on it because they believe the Red Cross somehow might be forcing Christianity on them. Well,
yeah. They
don't even understand.
Hey, I've got a question. Somebody just called in. What do you think of Ted Cruz?
You know, he espouses conservative values, but I don't think he does it in a way that that brings people together. He's constantly bagging on other Republicans, you know, whether it's fellow senators are in the House, and that's not what's going to pull us together. You know, it's not going to make us a strong team. I think he puts himself forward a lot more than he puts the whole cause forward. So now I got a bunch of mad Cruz people at it, but you asked.
Yeah, well, that was a question that came to you. You've got a lot of mad Cruz people.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, last thing, we got 2 minutes. The VA, I was told is that they're going to finally get somebody and actually get him in jail. There's a chance that somebody that's been a criminal in the Veterans Administration system might actually go to jail?
Maybe one VA director can go to jail now, finally, after all this, huh? You know, as hard as we've been working on this, my 2.5 years and my colleagues before me, this still shows what an entrenched bureaucracy it is and how it protects itself, how it comes around to itself. You know, I got to meet with Don Rumsfeld, former Secretary of the military here a couple mornings ago, and we brought this up here, and, you know, he was talking about it, and I finally said back, you know, and how come somebody isn't angry about this at the highest levels in the White House? You know, the president should be coming out angry about this, and whoever he has in charge say, you've got, you know, 2 weeks to make something better. If not, you're gone. And if that doesn't happen, you keep going through it and keep going down the chain until something's fixed. Somebody needs to be angry over it and demanding results immediately. And we are, you know, Congress passes a bill, right, the Veterans Choice Act, and things to limit the ability of bonuses for people who have no business earning bonuses for how bad this record is, and they're still finding ways to get them, you know, in defiance of us. So the tail's definitely wagging the dog on this. So, some people can start going to prison, and on the VA, we have a list, and so they're starting to get some of the folks on, I think, in Philadelphia are coming under scrutiny, and there's people that are getting paid six-digit figures for moving expenses.
Yeah.
They're doing this little
Congressman,
hop and a skip, and, you know, I'll trade this job with you, and then we'll all get moving expenses for $100,000 or more.
Congressman, so we're going to have to run. You know, I know that this is frustrating. But you've got to, you know, you got to remember that a lot of people are supporting you, and that,
I know they are, sir.
Okay,
and they tell me all the time, and I'm very grateful and blessed by it.
Okay,
and so, you know, we started out this way, and on fun. Well, this is a hard job, okay? I just got home last night on the plane.
Yeah, this is
every week is a